Hey guys, it's Rorschach, and welcome to Two Fat Daleks. Doc Wheatley is not with us this week. He is in the process of moving across the country, and he is going to be driving across the country. And I have already warned him about the no gas for 100 mile sign and old prospectors who promise that there's gold in their hills, in them thar hills, and they laugh like this. I told him to watch out for those. Now, of course, that's just in the West. When Doc gets a little over further, he'll hear, "Farming is the only way to go, son. What are you moving out to the Southeast for? You need to stay here and plant corn for a living and help our country." And Doc Wheatley will be like, "Please leave me alone." Boy, I tell you, that Doc Wheatley, he's in for quite an adventure going across the country. I tell you this, I told him to take pictures of all the food on the plates that he goes across at. And I said, "Doc, I don't eat too much. Sitting in the car on a long trip will make you have to go to the shit room." Brr. All right, guys, listen. All right, enough of my monologue. Enough of the preamble. And listen, guys, listen. Doc and I are completely aware there's other more, how shall we say, erudite Doctor Who podcasts. And by the way, I hate them all. I hate all of you. And yes, I'm declaring war. Two Fat Daleks is declaring war on all the other Doctor Who podcasts. I don't like you. You're morons. Why did Capaldi come in on the tank and playing the guitar? You would never see Tennant do that. What, I didn't understand. And then he was making bad jokes. Why? I didn't understand. Okay, really? Really? Okay, guys. We had another two-parter this week. God, I hate the other Doctor Who podcast. We had a two-parter this week again. And the first one is Under the Lake. All right. Listen, and I'll just, go through basic, narrative. This show won't be anywhere near as long as our other ones because, Doc's not here to bounce off of me, and I can guarantee you the laughs will be much fewer. So, yeah. So, another two-parter. Next week's episode looks awful, but, the week after. Okay, listen, we'll get to that. It's Monday morning, by the way, and I just finished watching After the Flood. But anyway, okay, the scene starts in this underwater mining facility. Really cool looking. These two episodes had a really big alien vibe to them. Ridley Scott's Alien. And so these underwater, there's like this group of people down there. They're doing this work for this company, which the name escapes me. I should have written it down. But they are doing this underwater mining facility. And, mining for oil, as it turns out, because there's been an oil discovery down there. Flash forwarding ahead again, Andy. Okay, so while they were digging, they found this craft buried. Dug it up, brought it into the mining facility, and there was a, spirit kind of thing that inside the ship. When they opened it, this, ghost-like thing came out. They have no eyes. It was another, I've complained about this last season, and I've already complained about it, last episode, but I really, really hate these disturbing makeup effects. I mean, it's just something that disturbs me. And I don't like it. Why can't the ghost look pleasant? Like in Beetlejuice or the movie Ghost starring, Patrick Swayze and Donna Reed. But, one thing I did love about, these two episodes was that there's a deaf character in it. And she, she's using sign language. And of course, she's got her interpreter there. And to move the narrative along. But you so rarely see a deaf character. Excuse me, guys. It's polleny out here today. Let me take a little sip of the old chive. Thank you, sweetheart. The last time I remember a deaf character being on any show, and I'm probably missing a lot here, was The West Wing. You know, which was Marley Maitland. But, so, I forget who it was. And by the way, guys, terrible with names. I think Doc is too, so he'll understand my, colloquial nomenclature on these people, but I think Cool Arab Guy. No. Yes, Cool Arab Guy. No! Glasses Guy was in the ship, and he got attacked by this ghost, who, you know, had no eyes, wearing a hat. Obviously not human, but he still got attacked by this ghost, and he fell back on this panel, and the engines went off. And the chief of the mining facility, a black man, a proud black man, shoved deaf girl out of the way. And guess what? The first casualty in this science fiction show was a black man. Way to break those stereotypes. Way to break those stereotypes. Hey, black man, in this science fiction show, I want you to go down that long, dark corridor to see if the aliens down there at the other end. Really, 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 Stephen Moffat, really, the first character you killed is a black man. All right, listen, guys, let's get off the race things. It's enough, really. So the chief was killed. All of a sudden, he turns up as a ghost, looking strikingly similar to the ghost that they unleashed on the ship when they opened it up. Now, we go to the title sequence, and it says, 3 days later, and you hear the TARDIS appearing. Geez, thanks, Doc. Doctor. Whoa, hey. Geez, thanks, Doctor. You couldn't have shown up a little bit earlier? Clara has that wanderlust thing in her eyes again. She's wanting an adventure. Man, she's wanting to go on one big time, because she's like, my favorite part was she goes, let's go someplace and have some fun, basically. I want to go to that planet where they are celebrating New Year's Eve for 2 centuries, did she say? Let me look at my notes here. Yeah, for 2 centuries, they've been celebrating New Year's Eve. And she goes, I had fun there, and I left a lot of my dignity there. Really, Clara? I think us boys knows what that means. Clara was probably flashing a lot. She probably, you know, got gangbanged or something. You know, you never know with Clara. There's something, you know, those English teachers. Oh, boy, you know, God. So, the doc and... Doc, I gotta stop saying that. The doctor and Clara are on the mining facility. It looks abandoned. They can't... I mean, there's no crew or anything. They're walking around, and Clara's like, this is, you know... What was the matter with her? How come she's, you know, was like this? I want to go get chased. Oh, Clara, just wait a minute. Yeah, Clara, just wait. You never know what's going to turn up here. And by the way, in sensing an incredible, increasing romantic thing happening with the doctor and Clara. So they're walking around, and they find the chief ghost, the chief of the mining facility, the black man who died first. Ugh, boy. And, they find both the ghosts. Okay, you gotta remember, there's two ghosts now. There's the one that was let off the ship, and the chief of the mining facility. They find those, and then they, run away from them, find that craft that they pulled up, and they go inside, of course, and both Clara and the doctor read these strange markings on the wall that look like a series of very scribbly number fours. To me, I mean, you know, if I was the doctor, I would go like, you know what, these look like the number four here. This looks like something a child drew before he knew what numbers meant. But yeah, one thing that was really cool though was the doctor was looking at them, and he goes, the TARDIS hasn't translated these. Apparently, the TARDIS is just this incredible godlike being. You know, that's fine. That's fine. You know, the TARDIS is whatever you want it to be, darling. And it can translate alien runes. Thank you, sweetheart. At a whim. The ghosts, are muttering something constantly. Whenever you see them throughout this episode and the next episode, they're constantly muttering something. Don't know what they're saying. The ghost, one of them picks up a harpoon and the other picks up a sword, which I'm not sure why those would be on a mining facility. What are they going to do? A harpoon, a whale? And they try to kill, they catch up to the Doctor and Clara, and they try to kill them with the harpoon and the sword. I'm guessing that's a sword. I can't remember now. They run. The Doctor and Clara are running around the mining facility like crazy people. Like, what did we just see? What just happened there? What is happening here? And all I could think was, gee, Clara, did you get your adventure? Did what you were just going crazy for as soon as you stepped out the TARDIS at the beginning of the fucking episode, is this what you want? You know. So they run around and they go up to this dead end and they look inside and there's the crew. The crew's in there and they're scared to death because, you know, they've been chased by these two ghosts apparently. The Doctor says that he recognizes the alien species of the first ghost we've seen, and he basically describes him as an alien coward of a race of aliens that have been conquered many times, and just, you know, a scaredy cat, not fond of them. So they're in there, just, you know, bunch of general blather, and I'm skipping over a lot of stuff here, man. You know, guys, I have to apologize again for my voice and coughing. Of course, Doc and I both coughed our asses off last week. I think he edited them out. Doc, you can edit this out if you want to. What gives your fingers? What gives you your fingers the idea that you have the prerequisite knowledge to edit my words? How dare you edit my words, sir? Thank you, sweetheart. Now, they're in this chamber with the Doctor and Clara are in this chamber with the crew, and the ship enters what they call day mode, which is very important. They had this on Star Trek. I've seen it in other science fiction shows about deep space. There's night mode and day mode on these big ships. Why? Because human beings need that. You know, we basically have, 12 hours of light a day and 12 hours of dark a day, and it keeps our bodies normal. And they did this experiment, I forget where, that when they changed that, people went insane. So, the Doctor and them, they're sitting around talking, and they go, well, they found out that this was a military base, that the mining facility was a military base, but it was built near a dam. Well done, folks. And the dam broke and everything got flooded in this whole valley kind of thing. And I noticed something else too. The Doctor wears, soft Doc Martens. I'm pretty sure those are Doc Marten boots. That's very, socialist and British of him, I thought. That kind of, you know, made me wet a little, you know, because, I thought that was so cool. That the Doctor is now wearing Doc Martens. I don't think he's been wearing Doc Martens, but I'm pretty sure that he's wearing Doc Martens now, and I think Clara is also wearing Doc Martens. This has been the fashion moment of the show, folks. Hey, Rorschach, what's going on with the fashion on Doctor Who? Well, let me tell you, I think the Doctor is wearing Doc Martens. Okay, so they go back to the ship that they dug up. The Doctor's, you know, fucking around in there, lifting shit around. You know how the Doctor is. And he opens up this panel, and he notices this hatch, and he opens it up, and it's the power cells for the ship, and there's one there, and there's a slot for another one. And the Doctor goes, one of these power cells is missing. Now there's one of the crew members of this mining facility is what I like to call Company Man. Now when Company Man hears the doctor talk about power cells, he wets himself. Wait a minute, power cells, I bet those are very valuable, aren't they? I bet the profit margin on those could be, I mean, it was really kind of just like, okay, dude, calm down, we get your character, okay? You're fucking, Paul Reiser from Aliens, you know, I mean, you know, we get it, you're fucking Company Man. And he goes, this guy comes to life, and he goes, it was, and he goes, well, where's the other one? You know, we could take the other one back to, we could take the other one back to our company and we could use it. And he goes, aren't these very powerful? And the doctor goes, well, you know, they can zoom the ship from one side of the universe to the other in almost an instant. So yeah, they're kind of powerful. And you can almost see this Company Man go, oh God. So the Company Man leaves. He walks off extremely suspiciously. Because he keeps looking back over his shoulders like, okay, are they watching me? Are they watching me leave? I'm going to leave now. I'm doing something obvious. Okay. And the doctor finally realizes that he sits there and he does his little doctor thinking out loud thing. They only come out at night. They're dead. Oh, my God. They are ghosts. Oh, my God. You know, it's like, okay, I've never seen a real ghost before. And one of the other crew members goes, you know, the chief ghost was our friend. We loved him. And the doctor goes, I don't care. He's a ghost. And Clara goes, the cards, like that. And the doctor goes, oh, wait a minute, hold on a second. And he hands Clara a bunch of cards. And Clara has written down a bunch of cards for the doctor to how to talk to humans. That's what they, it should have been a little book that said how to talk to humans. And the doctor goes, I'm sorry for your loss of your family member, friend, or pet. I promise I will avenge his death or injuries. I mean, it's just, it was so awkward and embarrassing. So they're sitting there, and night mode starts way too early. Night mode starts way too early. Startles all of them. It's like, what the fuck's happening? Guys, it's not supposed to be happening this early. The doctor and Clara, and the rest of them, actually, they run to the TARDIS, and it turns out the TARDIS is scared. The TARDIS is scared of ghosts. I don't blame it. I'm scared of ghosts too. They don't really exist. Okay, the Company Man puts on a fucking diving suit, goes outside. He's so fucking money hungry and desperate. One dimensional character, folks. He's so desperate to find this other power source. He thinks it might be outside somewhere, doesn't have a clue where it could be, but decides to go out anyway. Dumb. When he gets back in this chamber and the water's draining out, it's repressurizing. He looks out of the window there and thinks it's another crew member. He goes, oh, I just went outside looking for that other power source. Hey, no big deal. Hey, guys, you know what I'm saying? You know, profit margins for the company. We got to keep things on an equitable level. And he looks closer, and it's the chief ghost, the black man who died first. And the chief ghost kills him, the Company Man, and what I can only assume is one of the most horrible deaths I've seen, because he refloods the chamber and the guy drowns to death. Not soon after that, Clara and the other guys, they're, you know, they're in a panic now because night mode had started early. They're in a panic now and trying to get some supplies, you know, some food and water and shit that they can eat. You know, come on, you're going to be in there for, come on, you really need all this shit. And they've been calling for Company Man. And then all of a sudden Company Man appears in this room And he turns around and it's a fucking, he's a fucking ghost. Okay. So now we've got Chief Ghost, First Ghost, and Company Man Ghost. One of the other crew members is working on getting day mode restarted, and she does. She accomplishes it, earning the doctor's, admiration, by the way, and which Clara seemed a little bit jealous about. She seemed a little bit jealous there, yeah. And the Company Man Ghost disappears. He fucking disappears. It's like, okay, what's going on here? They only come out at night. The freaks come out at night. Hey, the freaks come out at night. Okay. So they all make a mutual decision. Since day mode's back, no have to worry about ghosts. Caveman talk. And they decide, okay, you know what, guys? Listen, let's get to topside. We're going to abandon this motherfucker and get the fuck out of here. They call topside, which is what they called it. It said, we need an emergency rescue. Topside goes, guys, you've already called us. You sent a message in Morse code that you needed some medical attention, and we're sending down a medic team right now. You called us about 20 minutes ago. And they're like, well, who the fuck called you? We didn't fucking call you. We've been gathering supplies and hiding from ghosts, you know. And Doc, God damn it. And the doctor gets on the horn and says, hey, this is the doctor from unit Fing Ping Pong Tong Tong Chong Pong. And, he says, call the sub back. The space is under quarantine. Do not send those people down here. You know. Okay, Doc, yeah, God damn it. The doctor, the doctor wants to stay down in the, place, in the mining facility, cause he's now intrigued. He wants to find out what the fucking ghosts want, you know. And, there's this really long, a little bit too long for daddy's taste, a little bit too long, elaborate chase scene where they try to lure the ghost with, hey, over here. And, you know, and you follow him down this corridor. And then Clara, you take over. Hey, over here. And they'll follow you. But the ghost got, smart and, divided up. And, you know, so thus, fucking up their plan. Now, the ghost, the Company Man Ghost starts following Cool Arab Guy, which is my name for that guy. You'll know if you've seen the show. He goes, and Cool Arab Guy, by the way, the only one not to look at the numbers or the symbols in the ship. Foreshadowing. He catches up with him. The Company Man Ghost picks up a wrench, but does it kill him? He leans into him. He just kind of leans into him like this. He's, what, you know, and he's not saying anything. Company Ghost Man. And then backs away, drops the wrench, and leaves the room. I'm like, what the hell? Guys, we don't know what's happening here. Very confusing episode at this point, because why does it look like he was smelling him, by the way. You know. Okay. Unexplainably creates a hologram that lures the ghost into a room and then, you know, shuts the door, and they're trapped in this room because the room is lead, and you know, in case there was a radiation leak on the mining facility. All right, the doctor looks at them with his sonic glasses. I think that's the first time we've heard the name of these. They didn't name them in the first two episodes, but yeah, sonic glasses. And in hopes that the deaf girl could read their lips. And that kind of disappointed me, because I thought, well, why would they, you know, it's so cool that they've got this deaf girl. Oh, they've got her so she can read the ghost's lips. Oh, no. Okay. She tries to read their lips. He can't, because he's too far away and the glass is too thick. She can't, though. But, the doctor says, open the fucking door. I'm going in, fuckers. That was his exact words. I saw the unedited version. Open the fucking door. I'm going to fuck in, yo. That sounded nothing like Peter Capaldi. Thank you, sweetheart. So these three ghosts, Company Man, Master Chief, and the first ghost, are saying, the dark, the sword, forsaken the temple, over and over again. The doctor figures out that something about the dark is space, the sword is Orion's sword, and he believes they're sending a signal into outer space, which was such a leap of logic for the doctor that it was like, wow, how in the fucking hell did he grab that out of the air? I mean, it was just because the doctor had previously gone, okay, this is something supernatural and there's life after death. Oh no, wait, they're sending signals into space. Okay, you know, whatever. And they found out, and they looked at the map of the town before it was flooded, and there was this church, and they figured out that, you know, that's gotta be the temple, this church. And so they figured there's something in this church, the temple. So they send this submarine out in this really cool scene where, Glasses, puts these things on his fingers, and he has this VR mask on, and he's controlling the submarine like that, which is really cool. They go into the temple, the flooded temple, and they find the church, and, what does it say? Find suspended air. Oh, yes. They find this, a suspension tube, this, suspended animation tube inside the, church. You know, of course they do. Because, you know, we're working on a story here, goddammit, and we're going to make it as complicated as possible. Somehow or another, the next scene, they have this suspended animation tube inside the mining facility. Don't know how they did it. That submarine must have been a lot bigger than I thought it was. I thought it was like a drone or something. The doctor goes, you know what, guys? I gotta go back to the beginning. I'm gonna go back in time. No, we are gonna go back in time, and we're gonna figure out what in the holy fucking hell is happening here. Because there's a starship in there. We just found a suspended animation tube. And then there was this long segment where the doctor explains everything. He's figured things out somehow. And he goes, all right, the ghosts are sending messages into space. The message on the wall of the starship is basically an earworm, basically a song that can't get out of your head. Anybody that's read it or seen it or looked at it, even in death, you can't stop humming it. Yeah, I mean, everybody's had this thing. Mine, what was that song? Major Lazer. Do you recall, not long ago, we would walk down the same... I couldn't get that song out of my head for like a week. It's called an earworm. And, so, by the way, the ghosts have been manipulating the electronic facilities of the ship. That's why they could change the day and night mode. And all of a sudden, an alarm goes off. It says, guys, I'm flooding this motherfucker down. That's what the alarm said. I saw the unedited version. So the base is starting to be flooded. The doctor says, everybody, let's get to the TARDIS. We're getting out of here. We're going back in the past, and we're going to figure this out. In the meantime, you know, they're all running. Clara, Glasses, and Military Girl get separated from the doctor, cool Arab guy, and... No. Clara, the deaf girl, and Glasses get separated from the doctor... cool Arab guy and no glasses and and military girl. Okay. I believe that's accurate. Guys, I need Doc Wheatley here. Listen, this is a clusterfuck. But you know what? It's a beautiful one, so keep listening. The doctor says they get separated, Clara and them, and, you know, because the doctor does this really cool Indiana Jones move and dives under this thing. They basically get, you know, caught up in the whole situation, and there's a floodwater building up in between these two doors that they're separated by. So the doctor says, I'm going to go back in time and figure this out, and I'm coming back to save you, Clara. Fuck the rest of these people. I'm in love with you. And by the way, can't blame them. And I bet the doctor was there when Clara was losing her dignity on that planet that had been celebrating New Year's Eve for two centuries. If you guys know what I'm talking about. Hang on a second. Something's wrong with my microphone. Okay, it's fixed now. So, Clara, you know, she's despondent. Oh, the doctor's gone. Oh, where can he be? I know he'll come back and save me. I know that everything will work out all right. And she's right, and all ends happily at the end of the second episode. No, but she looks out the window, and, you know, they're under the water, of course, and the deaf girl looks out the window, and she points out the window. Clara looks out the window. Or was it glasses? Or was it cool Arab guy? I can't remember. But, and there's a new ghost appearing outside in the water. And the ghost starts coming closer and closer. And you see Clara take a back. And it's the doctor. The doctor is now a ghost with the hollowed out eyes. You know, very disturbing. And Clara, you know, says, oh my God, no. What has happened? That means the doctor died in the past sometime. Because the doctor had already left with glasses and military girl into the past. I bet Doc Wheatley at this point is going like, we're not releasing this. We're not releasing it. Now we start the episode before the flood. The episode starts out, the doctor is talking to the camera directly. He's talking to the camera directly. He's walking around, and the doctor's into vinyl. Who knew the doctor was a hipster? And he goes, you know, one of my favorite composers is Ludwig van Beethoven. And what's the point of being a time traveler if you can't meet your heroes? Lovely, lovely Ludwig van. And he goes, I went back in time. Did he say Vienna? And he goes, I never could find him. I went around, even his family, never heard of him. It's called, and then just out of the blue, he goes, it's called the Bootstrap Paradox. Google it. I haven't yet. Y'all can. And he goes, I have all of these affectations from Ludwig van. I've got the bust of his head and sheet music and everything. And he goes, basically, it implies that the doctor was Ludwig van Beethoven, right? Did I completely misunderstand that? That there was some kind of weird time thing that he himself became what he went back to become, right? That's what I got out of that. I'm not really sure how this fits in with the entire rest of the episode, except the rest of Before the Flood has got a lot of these weird time paradoxes, and there's a great Harry Potter movie where Hermione has this necklace that can change back time, and they go back and they see themselves doing things they just saw. You know, I don't know. I'm confused. Guys, I'm confused. I need help. And by the way, this episode had a new theme. This episode had a new theme song. It was a guitar-laden theme song. And we finally got to see that clockwork squirrel that the doctor built by destroying his clock. No, by destroying his radio. And it was sitting on a speaker, and the doctor plays his own theme And it's a heavy metal guitar sounding thing. So it opens up. The doctor and glasses and military girl are in what looks like 1980s Russia. It turns out it's not. The doctor later explains, no, this is a military site used to train, I guess, British soldiers for warfare in Russia. So basically, the British had built this entire Russian-looking city to, you know, and this was, and by the way, this was 1980. They went back to 1980. So this was the height of the Cold War. The height of the Cold War. Brezhnev was a premier. Great man. Brezhnev was fantastic. Man, those eyebrows on him were epic. Mm. Mm. Thank you, sweetie. A really cool, funny scene is, Doc, I'm sorry you're having to edit this so heavily. A really cool, funny scene. I'm looking at my notes, goddammit, you know. A really cool, funny scene is military girl goes, they get out, you know, they're going to start exploring. They need to go over to the church. And she goes, just hold on a second. And she turns to the glasses guy and goes, it's bigger on the inside. 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 I thought that was funny. So they find the ship. They find the ship, you know, that they, you know, back in the future, they find buried. The doctor surmises it's a hearse. He goes in and there's no markings on the wall, but there is a body in drapes, you know, undercover. Kind of like, and the doctor goes, okay, this is a hearse. Well, what is it? This is some sort of burial ship or something? And there's no markings on the wall. And the guy who's the first ghost is there, very much alive and very, very much annoying. He says the body inside the ship was his former king. And as alluded to in the Under the Water, the Undertaker, which I'm now going to start calling him instead of First Ghost, is a race that is eagerly and willfully conquerable. There's a sign outside their capital city that says, if you had conquered us, you would be home by now. The doctor obviously despises him, as I'm assuming much of the rest of the audience does, because he seems incredibly sexually aroused about being conquered. He leans into the doctor and says, you know, there's devices on here for you to conquer me. And if you want to conquer me, I will not object. And, you know, I mean, it seemed really, really weird. And he seemed to get a little bit too much of a thrill out of being subjugated and conquered, which, you know, that's fine in a woman. That's fine in a woman, but this was a obvious male version of their species. Ooh, sexist. All right, back to the future. The doctor ghost is just looking in, and he starts talking, but he's saying something different from all the other ghosts. He's saying everybody's name. And Clara, this is something I wanted to bring up as an aside. Clara still has a fucking iPhone 3. Did any of you guys notice that? She has the most awful iPhone 3 ever. I mean, how is that thing still working? Where and when did she charge that thing? There's no way in hell. She's had to have the battery replaced by now. We're 5-6 generations ahead of the iPhone 3. There's the iPhone 4, iPhone 4S, iPhone 5, iPhone 5S, iPhone 6, iPhone 6S. What the fuck, Clara? You're a teacher. Thank you, sweetheart. You're a teacher. For Christ's sakes, you can't afford a better fucking phone? The hell's the matter with you? You're too busy thinking about that damn party? With the aliens with the long necks? Wanting to degrade and humiliate yourself and lose your dignity further? To get a new iPhone! The doctor calls Clara from the past and Clara reluctantly reveals to him, hey, you're a ghost. And the doctor, you know, goes ashen and he goes, oh my God, listen, it's written in the future. I'm going to die. Something's happening here. I'm going to die. And once again, this was a weird scene in these two episodes where Clara and the doctor really bond. Because Clara goes, if you love me, I think this was the last episode, if you love me, you'll come back and get me. And the doctor's like, okay, yeah, I'm coming back to get you. What is happening with them? Are they falling in love? Is this a build up to Clara dying this season that the doctor's finally going to get his heart broken kind of thing? I don't know. What? Oh, yes. And then it shoots to the Undertaker. He goes back to the ship. He goes in. He's working on shit, you know, on his little iPad or something. He goes back to the ship, and he walks in, and the body's gone. The body that was under shrouds and stuff is gone. And the writing is up on the wall now. Okay, so picture this. First ghost, Undertaker, goes back to the ship, the body's gone, and there's writing on the wall now. Weird. Weird. Very weird. Alright? You hear these very heavy footsteps coming up, and you see a shadow fall over the Undertaker, and you hear a laser blast, and I don't think anybody cares, because he was an incredibly annoying, sexually aroused at being subjugated asshole. Fuck him. He's dead. You know, nobody gives a shit. Okay, and then flash forward back to the future. So we're doing a lot of going back and forth here because the doctor's in the past. Clara, deaf girl, and glasses are in the future. No, Clara, deaf girl, and cool Arab guy are in the future. The doctor ghost that's been hovering outside the window of the mining facility all of a sudden starts coming in. And he goes to a control panel, hits a bunch of buttons, and he's letting the other ghosts out. The doctor, by the way, Clara and the doctor are still on the phone when this is happening, and the doctor wants to talk to the ghost him. The doctor ghost starts saying, instead of listing names, he goes, the chamber will open tonight. The chamber will open tonight. Okay. So, you know, now we're into weirdness number 5 here. the doctor goes to the ship and finds that the Undertaker has died. He's dead. No regrets given. Nobody gives a shit. You know, who gives a shit? He's a crazy person. You know, anyway. the doctor looks. He sees that there's writing on the wall now. And that the animation chamber has been gone. The suspended animation chamber is gone. Because they see it's been drug away, obviously, toward the church. The doctor goes, okay. So that's how that ends up there. They hear the footsteps again. So obviously the thing that was dead is back alive. Really heavy footsteps. And of course it's growling, you know. Wouldn't be menacing if it wasn't growling, would it? They all start running and hiding. The military girl gets separated from the doctor in glasses. And she gets shot by this thing. And dies. Very sad. I liked her. Especially how she goes, it's bigger on the inside, it's bigger on the... I really liked her character. And, Now she's gone. Never to be seen again. Clara was next on the list, though, of the names that the doctor was listing. Clara's name was next on the list after Military Girl. And Glasses freaks out. He goes like, okay, now you're going to do something. Now you're going to start to, because it's affecting you, isn't it? It's affecting you. It's affecting you. The doctor says he will change history to save Clara. They're in love, guys. They're building up to something here. There's a romance building up here that I seriously think is gonna happen, that's gonna make Clara's death even worse. Foreshadowing, speculation. Flash forward to the future, having to keep do this, but Clara now sees Military Girl as a ghost. So now the future is being haunted by Undertaker, Master Chief, Company Man, and Military Girl, and the Doctor. Five ghosts now. Okay, the doctor says, listen, I'm going to save Clara come hell or high water. Fuck this shit. You know, we've basically figured out what's happening here. Going into the future, going to save Clara. The TARDIS goes, hold on a second. No, you're not. TARDIS does not want to go back there. I'm guessing that's what happened. The TARDIS stops them moving into the future and instead sends them half an hour back. Half an hour back. Harry Potter ripoff. Half an hour back, at the Russian, fake Russian town. The doctor goes, wait a minute, where are we? And he starts walking over and he looks over and sees himself and ducks back in and goes, oh my God, we're about a half an hour back in time. And the doctor makes this really great speech about you can't cheat time. I mean, there was this weird inevitability about this. He goes, you can't cheat time. That's the way it is. The future is already written. Which, Clara figures out that cool Arab guy. And this was in the first episode. Cool Arab guy. The deaf girl didn't let cool Arab guy go into the chamber or the spaceship. The cool Arab guy is the only one who did not see the writing, who did not get the earwig. Okay? And she goes, listen. And wait, by the way, Clara left her goddamn phone outside this chamber. That it was so confusing. Clara, why would she have left her phone? See, this is where I need Doc. Why did Clara leave the phone? Am I Clara? Did I lose my dignity? Why did Clara leave the phone? Oh, thank you, sweetie. Why did Clara leave the phone outside the fucking chamber she was in? I didn't understand that. And see, if Doc was here, he would go, well, it was a thing that happened there, and the hell was it? Oh. So, is that my Doc impression? Oh, my God. So... Oh my God, I think I've got Doc nailed down. Yeah, just do a Dean Martin. Okay. Oh my God. Clara makes cool Arab guy go after the phone because cool Arab guy's the only one who hasn't seen the writing, and deaf girl gets angry because I think deaf girl's in love with cool Arab guy. So, no, she isn't. Oh, wait, Doc's with me now? Okay. All right, that's enough, Andy. Stop it. Stop it. Oh, God. Wow, I laughed hard on that. The doctor goes into the church, and this is Doctor 30 minutes past the beginning of the episode. Doctor goes into the church, and he goes down into the basement, and he sees the suspended animation chamber. And the doctor goes, and the suspended animation chamber is open. It's open, man. And he goes, why are you here? What do you want? What is happening?
Here there's a, we are making ghosts. And,
you know, I mean, the Fisher King, which he's been called just a couple of times, which is weird, because he looks like a combination of Skeletor, the Predator, and a cobra. And the Fisher King is apparently walking around in the dark, and he goes, listen, I'm proud that I'm eventually making more ghosts. It's going to bring an armada here, and we're going to take over this planet. We're going to drain its oceans, and we're going to enslave the human race. And the doctor goes, and this is a callback to Tenet. And the doctor goes that this planet is protected under my defense, or this planet is protected, right? This planet is under my protection. Yes. Basically what's happening here, guys, is that this alien king who conquered the, fetishist, Undertaker people has died. And he's still so loyal to his conqueror king that he wants to bury him on a desolate planet, which he thinks is Earth for some reason, which makes no sense. But apparently the king isn't dead. He was in some sort of sleep or just, you know, wounded and rehealed himself. Or he planned this to conquer Earth to make a fetish boy, Undertaker, first ghost, take him to Earth to send the signals to his armada to come to Earth and conquer it because of the oceans and the general populace that he could enslave. Yeah, I'm just as confused as you are. Okay, in the future, though, back to the future, the suspended animation coffin opens up. Lights up. It lights up. There's like a little countdown light timer thing on it. And guys, I swear to God, my hand to God. Well, my hand to what? What do I believe in? Parks and Recreation. My hand to Rick and Morty. I said, when that goddamn coffin opens up, you know who's going to be in it? The doctor. I swear to fucking God I said that. I swear to, oh God, there I go again. I swear that I said, when that coffin opens up, I know who's going to be in it. It's the doctor. Because when the doctor went down in the basement and the coffin was open and the Fisher King was out of it, I said, the doctor's going to be in that coffin when it opens up. I knew it. I knew it. I called it. Oh, flash forwarding. All right, flash forwarding. Cool Arab guy is confronted by the five ghosts and is ignored again, you know, because he hasn't seen the writing on the wall. Have you seen the writing on the wall? Have you seen the writing on the wall? Waiting for you to call. Have you seen the writing on the wall? It's ready for you to call. Writing on the wall. Yang, nang, 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 nang. Okay. Fisher King says he will, you know, do all that shit I said. And cool Arab guy, finds Clara's phone, but the ghosts trap him in this room that Clara's phone was in, which, you know, is so obviously a trap because Clara's phone is placed precisely in the center of a table. Only a dum-dum would have picked it up. I said, don't pick up that phone, cool Arab guy. Please don't pick up that phone, cool Arab guy. And he picked it up anyway. Fisher King comes out of the shadows and he confronts the doctor. The doctor looks incredibly scared because, by the way, guys, this is the fault of the BBC's budget or something, I guess. The Fisher King was so much more terrifying in the darkness than he was when he went outside. Because When the darkness, you could barely see him. He was in shadows and just weird looking. But later on, when he goes outside, you can see it's just, he looks like a Godzilla villain. Thank you, sweetie. Okay, there was this really, really cool scene, though, when Clara and the deaf girl go out to find iPhone-fetching guy, cool Arab guy, because she's upset. She's in love with him. I mean, yeah, it's obvious. The deaf girl is. And the deaf girl is being stalked by Master Chief Ghost, and he's dragging an axe behind him. Guess what? She can't hear it. It's really, really scary, though. I was kind of on the edge of my seat on this scene because she's being, you know, chased by him. Well, followed by him. And she can't hear him. She feels something. I don't know how she knows. She must have felt something in her shoes or something, but she bends down. And she does Daredevil. She does a Daredevil from Marvel Comics maneuver and feels the floor. And she visualizes the vibration of the axe on the floor, on the metal floor. And she goes like, oh, fuck, time to move. She darts back and the Master Chief Ghost swings the axe at her, misses, of course, because she's onto it now, because she's apparently a Daredevil, and she escapes the axe blow and runs away. Okay, so the Fisher King is having this weird banter thing. You know how the Doctor always does that banter thing to, you know, talk his way out of things, and dismissing 50 years of Doctor. Just, you know how he does that talking thing and talks his way out of it. He leaves the church, goes out into the sunlight, which is the worst mistake this episode made, I think, because we get to see how awful his costume really is. And he walks out of the church, goes to his ship, and he looks in and he sees that one of the energy pods that's missing in the future that the company guy went out to find is gone. So the company guy had no chance of finding this energy pod, but you hear this explosion off in the distance and the missing energy pod has been laid at the foot of the dam, which I'm guessing sometime the Doctor did that. Unless I'm completely missing something. The Doctor placed the missing energy pod at the foot of the dam to explode it, overload it, and explode it. And the dam cracks, explodes. Great special effects on this, by the way. And the valley floods. The dam collapses. And floods. Fisher King is killed. The coffin opens up, and guess who comes out? The Doctor. I called it. Guys, I called it. I said I knew that was going to be the Doctor. I knew that was going to be the Doctor. The Doctor later admitted that his ghost was a hologram. He puts on the sonic glasses and erases everybody's memory of the writing on the wall. Have you seen the writing on the wall? And wipes everybody's brain clean of that particular event. And, that was, pretty much about it. I'm boggled by this. I don't remember who wrote this episode. I don't care. I give Under the Water a C, and Before the Flood a C-. I did not like these. They were overly Deus Ex Machina, or however you want to say it. It goes to the machine kind of thing. I got some good laughs out of this episode. I mean, it was funny. It was cool to see the old Soviet stuff, even though it wasn't. It was just a little... There were a lot of leaps in the narrative, and listen, guys, I'm a big fan of Doctor Who. I didn't like it. So, I mean, it's watchable. I will probably watch it again, you know. I didn't care for this. I didn't care for either story, and it was something that, you know, once again, I think could have been wound up in an hour, and it stretched into 2 hours, and so... Hey guys, you can follow me on Rorschach on Twitter at Rorschach7, at Rorschach7, R-O-R-S-C-H-A-C-H-7. You can follow Docky Wheats, Doc Wheatley on at Docky Wheats, and, me and Holly do a show on More Like Radio, called Halls and Rorschach every Saturday at noon Eastern time. And that was Under the Water and Before the Flood. Play the sound effect.
Not so fast, Rorschach. This is Doc. I'm editing and I have a couple corrections. Correction number one, in the intro to Before the Flood, the doctor is monologuing about that Beethoven thing. He says in the monologue that this didn't actually happen. He did meet Beethoven, and he was a lovely chap, but he was just using this as a what-if example. So the doctor is not Beethoven. It was a hypothetical example. Number two, Clara left her phone outside the chamber because the doctor said that that chamber would not get reception because it blocks transmissions. So the doctor told her to leave it just outside the chamber and only answer it if it was safe to do so. But then a ghost stole it and they had to send a cool Arab guy after it. Also, I loved the episodes. I loved the pacing. I liked that it was a two-parter. I do think the second part was not as good as the first part. I also predicted that the doctor would be in that, chamber pod thing. So when then that turned out to be true, it was like, I got you, you fuckers. But yeah, I would say, Under the Lake, by the way, you kept calling it Under the Water. It's called Under the Lake. Under the Lake, I'd give an A minus, and Before the Flood, I'd give a B plus. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to next week's because that's the first one with Maisie Williams, and it's by one of my favorite Doctor Who writers, Jamie Matheson, who wrote two great episodes last season, whose names are escaping me at the moment. Let me double check. Jamie Matheson. I'm also eating a salad while I record this. He did Mummy on the Orient Express and Flatline. Two great episodes. And he's doing next week's called The Girl Who Died, which is said it's a one-parter, but the next episode after that's called The Woman Who Lived. Those titles seem connected, but we'll see. So yeah, play the sound effect.